I said I would talk about Rosh Hashanah and tie one thing into tie it into the Parsha, but something I'd really think will be very helpful for us and probably change a perception that most of us have too. Let's turn a very interesting pasuk in this week's Parsha. Page 314, sentence 6. Umol Hashem Elokecha es levovcha ves levav zarecha. That means Hashem literally will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love Hashem with your whole heart and your whole soul, so that you have a desire to live, so that you should live. It's very interesting. We know we're in the month of Elul. Elul, the rabbis tell us, is an acronym for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Okay, that's... I'll give some talks yet in the yeshiva this Thursday night. It's a little difficult to understand. I'm from my beloved. There's a book of death up there, so if you have friends like this, okay, that we'll talk about Thursday night. That's a very important talk. But today I want to mention something else. Look at the Mol Hashem Elokecha's Es Levavcha is an Aleph. Aleph, S. The Vavcha is a Lamed. The S is a Vav. Lavav is another Vav. Elul. This is not mine, this is the Balatur. Which means there's another, in this week's Parsha, there's also a hint of Elul. Right? As the Vav, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. S, Lavavcha, the S, Lavav. That's what the Baal HaTurim says. And the obvious question is, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li makes sense. It's a relationship. I'm for him, he's for me. Here we're talking about Elul, we're talking about Shuvah, and we're talking about a unilateral act by Hashem. Hashem is going to do something to us. Hashem is going to do something to us. That's not the way we generally understand Elul. And besides, even the process of tshuva, as we've been speaking about, that there has to be some initiative from below. So what do you mean Hashem is going to do? What does that mean Hashem is going to do? There should be some sense of a joint effort. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi, I'm for him. We're both meeting halfway. In any relationship, if there's been a break, both meet halfway. And over here, we find that it's like a person is doing nothing and Hashem is doing heart surgery on him. And that's difficult to understand. It doesn't seem to go with our whole concept of what Elul is not a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing heart surgery. It's that we are participating in the process. And yet Elul is, he will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. That's an indication. In order to explain this, I'd like to begin with a very fascinating Talmudic statement. It's so difficult that I am so astounded that I can't find anybody to ask the question. I see some related questions that they ask, but this is like just simple translation. You have a very interesting principle brought a number of times in the Talmud, and that is that a Bezdin Shel Yisrael, a Jewish court, has a right. A person doesn't want to take a lulav. A person doesn't want to take an eser. The person doesn't want a sukkah. The law is makan oso achetetze nafsho. We are able to beat him till he dies. Makan oso, you hit him achetetze nafsho till he dies. Don't say you have to, but you have to figure out how to apply that. Comes along the Talmud, tells us a story that someone's brought it. This is, Talmud is in Chul, if anybody wants to look it up on 110b. tells a story. A man was brought into court, and he had not treated his parents with proper respect. So they tied him up, and they're going to start beating him. Comes along one of the rabbis and said, no, this is a specifically excluded from the right or the obligation to beat him up. Why? Because this is matan schara b'tzid. Next to the law of honor, the obligation to honor your parents, it says, l'man yarichun yomecha, so you'll have longevity, you'll have long life, and therefore the Torah gave us a reward here. Since the Torah gave us a reward, mitzvahs in which the Torah gave us a reward, they are excluded. That you can't punish a person for. Why not? I mean, none of this is in the scriptures. This is just the rabbis using their logic. What's the logic? And I'll tell you the simple translation of the Talmud is that since it has its own reward, there's no reason to punish him. Because he can figure this out himself. But it doesn't make sense. You're allowed to beat up a person to coerce him to do a mitzvah. And it comes along, the Talmud says, but if the Torah gives a reward next to it, you can't beat him. Rashi says, why? Rashi says, because the fact the Torah wrote the reward, and the man knows by not honoring his parents he's not going to get the reward, that itself is his punishment. This makes no sense. I don't think. I mean, if you read it simply, it makes no sense. What is a greater pressure on a person? You beat a person, and he will do something because he doesn't want to be continued. Oh, no, please stop. I'll do what you asked me to do. Or you give him a big incentive, a reward system. What is a bigger, more likely to be successful? What works at... What works in our homes, guy? Your kid is afraid of getting clobbered. Reward, you'll get reward. There's nothing like... Listen, the avoidance of pain is a greater motivation for a person than the pursuit of pleasure. In fact, the basic, I think, almost human drive is to avoid pain as opposed to pursue pleasure. A person may be motivated to pursue pleasure, he may not, but all of us have an instinct we want to avoid pain. This is probably the deepest, almost the deepest human desire is not lust or drive, it's to avoid pain. That is a universal. Everybody wants to avoid pain. So what is the Talmud saying? This is his punishment. It literally makes no sense. If the rabbis have a right to hit somebody, to get them to do something, wherever that right is derived from, then the fact that the Torah gave him an incentive, that in no way is a way of telling us, okay, then you don't hit him. He already has an incentive. It's a lot more than incentive. The Torah says you can create an incentive of the avoidance of pain, which is a much stronger incentive than getting reward. So if that's true, then how can we say that this is an exception to the rule? And by the way, there's one of the interesting mitzvahs that the Rishonim deal with, and this is tough time to get in today. What about charity? Does the court have a right, if the community imposes a charitable obligation on people, does the community have a right to coerce a person to do? And there are stories in the Talmud that they do have a right. The community makes a tax, and we have a kehillah, an income tax in the Jewish community, or a levied a tax, and the person refused, so it says that he was actually coerced. And the rabbis are bothered. One of the mitzvahs in which the reward is right there is by charity. God will give you a blessing. It's clearly in the sentences. And therefore, you should not be able, this is the Rishonim deal with this problem, you should not be able to coerce a person to give charity. And some say you actually can. Talmud says coercion, that means persuasion, but not real coercion. And others say charity is an exception because not only is a positive commandment, there's a negative commandment. Others say maybe it's different if the community levies a tax, then it's not just a mitzvah, sort of a legal obligation. It's a debt almost to the community. But this is a huge problem. It's a very serious thing. There's some mitzvahs that you can't coerce a person to do. And that's, by the way, living in a community, if we had a kehillah here, that everybody had to pay taxes for the synagogue, for the mikvah, and for their school system, and people would refuse, what is the right of a community to collect those taxes? I don't want to pay. What can I do? So this is a very practical question. It's also a very practical question. So charity, because it has a reward. But my question is still unbelievable. It makes no sense. The fact that once the Torah says you're allowed to beat a person up, and the fact that over here that there's an incentive in the Torah, that doesn't hold the same amount of pressure on a person than doesn't give the same amount of pressure on a person as beating him. So, because he has an incentive, and Rashi says there's even more. Rashi, that's his punishment. Which also makes no sense. The lack of incentive, the lack of a gain, is not the same degree of punishment as the avoidance of pain. In order to understand this, it's a huge message for this time of year. I'd like to mention the Rambam, the laws of repentance. But if you read it, and just finally decide, literally doesn't make any sense. In the fourth chapter of the laws of repentance, the Rambam talks about certain behaviors that actually take you away from any type of repentance. And he says like this. One of the terrible things a person can do, he says, is a person who's malig al hamitzvah, a person who laughs about mitzvah. Like sometimes you know people that are unlearned, and sometimes you tell them about a mitzvah, they just make fun of it. Well, it kind of makes no sense. Not keeping kosher, that's an old, that's an old superstition or an old trichinosis issue. You know, people will make fun of a mitzvah. That has nothing to do with keeping away. Food's delicious. What does it matter? Yeah, in the old days there was trichinosis. You know, just an example. People sometimes laugh about mitzvahs. People don't know any better. That's a terrible thing. But listen to what the Rambam says. If a person laughs on the mitzvahs, he's going to kivinch in his bazabenim, because since they have become cheap in his eyes, he doesn't run after them to do them. He doesn't do them with enthusiasm. This is where he starts from. A person that laughs on the mitzvahs is terrible behavior. Because if you laugh on the mitzvahs, what's going to happen? You're not going to do mitzvahs enthusiastically. If you would have asked me to do it, I would have written exactly the opposite. It's terrible not to do mitzvahs enthusiastically, because from a lack of enthusiasm can bring you to something worse, which is laughing. The Rambam says exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Laughing on a mitzvah is bad because you won't do them afterwards enthusiastically. If I asked anybody here, what is the greater of the two evils? Somebody who laughs on mitzvahs and thinks they're totally unimportant. Mispaza, what's it translated? Bizui. They're cheap. They're bizui. Yeah.
Disgrace.
Yeah. The scorn the mitzvahs. You make fun of them. Cheapen them. Or a person who does mitzvahs, but he doesn't do them with enthusiasm. Who's worse? I would like to think somebody who cheapens. I mean, all of us. When's the last time you have a great desire to give charity, a great enthusiasm when that mishul comes to the door? Oh, thank God he's here. I run to open the door to give him money. I'm really enthusiastic, or I'm very enthusiastic about going to davening in the morning. Of course, coming 25 minutes late is always, I figure that's just how I'm able to make, most of us do things to make sure, we want to make sure, you can't say I wasn't there. It's not you're going to davening, you just don't want to not be there. That's what most of us do, and none of us, I don't think, would laugh on mitzvahs. You know, we know they're great, we should do them, but most of us, I think, start with the premise it's much worse to do things, to laugh about something, than do without enthusiasm. We hope it won't come, God forbid, to laugh. And the Rambam writes exactly the opposite. There's a smart person writing exactly the opposite. That's not the human experience. Most of us think to laugh is much worse than to do things without enthusiasm. What is the Rambam teaching us? He's teaching us a fascinating thing. He's saying it's worse to do things without enthusiasm. What could be worse than laughing? I'm laughing at, you're going to shul this morning. Come on, play golf this morning. What is it with you? It's hocus pocus hanging out with a couple old men in the morning, but 2012. That was from my grandfather, my father, us. We were the golf guys. This is healthy, and you have a better day. And Rambam's telling us a fascinating insight into our lives. When you make fun of something, okay, you're estranged from it. You know what? But that's a way of dealing with it. You're comfortable. Okay? And this is for you, not for me. I got better things to do. Yeah, I have a disdain for it. I have no interest in it. The mitzvahs bother me? No. Does God bother me? No. Thank God he leaves me alone, I leave him alone. Now, make it, you know, obviously, it's only if you're making a good parnassah and you're healthy. You know, as soon as you get sick, then you got other considerations already. But right now, I don't need any mitzvahs. Good for you. You know, it's ridiculous. When you do a mitzvah without enthusiasm, let's not talk about it. Let's talk about our kids. You push them to do something without enthusiasm the first time. Okay? The second time. The third time. What's happening? Kids getting hostile. When you pressure someone to do something, he's not enthusiastic, you bring your child to shul the first time, I don't want to go, pop, I don't know. Second time. The third time, he's getting angry. You're not getting closer to Mrs. You're making... He's angry at you, he's angry at God. Enthusiasm means a lack of enthusiasm means I have a reluctance to do something. Anything that you do, time one with reluctance, time two with reluctance, time three, is building up an animosity. When you're pressured to do something you don't want to do, you're getting upset, more upset. You're not getting closer to your goals, you're getting more upset. It's a huge mistake we make with our children on an everyday basis. We pressure them to do things they don't want to do. And because we pressure them, we think, oh, okay, but he's still coming to show me. He's getting angry at you and angry at the religion and angry at the rabbi and angry at the synagogue. He doesn't want to do it. And you can pressure him, you can control him, and therefore he has to go, and he knows that you're giving him a look. That's much worse. The Rambam is telling us when you make fun of something, okay, you're keeping a distance. I don't respect you. You don't respect me. I don't respect what you want me to do. You know, you leave me alone. Don't bother me. When a person does something with reluctance, and he constantly does something with reluctance, you're building up resistance and anger, and he's getting angrier and angrier. It must be what he's saying. It must be what he's saying, the Rambam. I mean, there's no other way of explaining it. He's telling us it's worse to do things without enthusiasm to laugh. If you laugh, then you'll do it, and you do it without enthusiasm, and therefore you get annoyed that you're being pressured to do it, and pressured to do it, and you got a tremendous explosion. We all see this with our kids, without a doubt. And until we realize this, our gut reaction is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to achieve, and we're creating problems with our teenagers and all the time. You know, I'm giving mitzvahs, but it's the same thing, whether it's study, going to school, it's the same thing. Kid does something without reluctance, and you keep on pushing to him, you're not making him a better student, you're making him angry. It's the kind of kid who wants to drop out of school and do nothing and hang out or whatever he really wants to do. It doesn't bring him closer. You become at loggerheads. That's what the Rambam's telling us. That's true. Let me ask you a question. What sense does it make to beat a person up to do mitzvahs? That's retarded. That's literally retarded. The rabbis say you beat up a person who doesn't want to put on tzitzis, a person who doesn't want to put on tefillin. What, are you crazy? Let him go. It's much worse to do this. You're making a guy that's going to hate the Jewish people, right? It makes no sense. He's going to hate God. This is the biggest reluctance, when the only reason I'm doing it is because I don't want to get punched or get hit by my father. You know, it's the same thing. If you don't go to show, I'm going to hit you. Take a strap out and hit you. The kid is angry, and he's getting angrier and angrier. The more he does, he's getting angrier and angrier. So now the court does the same thing. I'm going to get angrier and angrier. Therefore, we're all misunderstanding what the Talmud is telling us. It's impossible that the Talmud is telling us that you beat up a person to do mitzvahs. It makes no sense. A mitzvah done without enthusiasm is worse. It's like almost the whole level of the terrible thing is to do a mitzvah without enthusiasm. So we're going to beat up a person. Is there anybody who's doing something with less enthusiasm because you're beating them? You start beating your kid. You take him in the morning, you take a strap to him on Shabbos. Okay, Pa, I'm going. I mean, it's going to do a lot of good. I mean, and he's really happy to do it. The Rambam is telling us, and he just read the Talmud correctly, the idea of hitting him is not to get him to do the mitzvahs. You don't beat him up. Okay, I'll do the mitzvah. No, we're not interested in doing that. We want you to understand the importance of the mitzvah. The court is getting involved, and the Jewish community is getting involved in pressuring you, not so you should do the mitzvah, pressuring you to stop and understand what is important about this mitzvah. Why are these rabbis got nothing better to do than to haul you into court? And why is the community nothing better to do than start beating you because you don't want to eat matzah? What are they doing? They got other things. They got a whole community. People are hungry. People need economic help. They need this all kind of crisis. What are they doing over here? Hopefully, and that's the goal in hitting him, is, you know what? I'll do mitzvah. No. That's not what we want you to stop and think why it's so important that we got so involved over here. Why are we so, like, you know, maybe there's parents who never hit their kid. Maybe there's parents who never raised their voice. But I'll tell you, one time they did raise their voice and maybe slapped their child as much as he's putting his hand in the fire. Kid's going across the street and he's like, God, he's not looking. He starts screaming. He'll shoot you. Yeah. Why? Because he's hurting himself. He's really hurting himself. What we're trying to do here, the law of pressuring him is not to press. It doesn't say kaifen. It doesn't say we pressure him to do the mitzvahs. We're not trying to force him to do the mitzvah. We're hitting him so we'll stop and think, why is everybody so concerned over here? What is this great danger I'm in if I... Or what am I lacking here? Why is this like crossing the street without looking? Why is this like putting my hand in the fire? This must be something very important. There's no law the court pressures a person to do mitzvahs. We beat you so that you should stop and think. Go get a, give some thought. What are you doing over here with your life? And therefore the Talmud now has it just reads beautifully. And that he knows this what it has to say, because if the Torah in fact gives a reward, and the Torah says how important it is there any reason why we have to get him to stop and think how important it is? The Torah told us how important it is. The Torah already told you, do this, you're going to live in the world to come, and you're going to live a long life. What could be more meaningful to him than that? Give charity? The Torah already said you're going to get all type of blessings. We know he knows how important it is. And when we know he knows how important it is, there's no need to pressure him. Rashi's saying, he's just reading the Talmud. The Talmud's not telling us pressure a person to do mitzvahs, because pressuring a person to do mitzvahs is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish. We want him to do them. We're trying to get him to stop and think, why is everybody so upset? Like when I put my hand near the fire, a little kid, why is everybody so upset? Because it's a calamity. And there's tremendous negative consequences. We just want you to stop and think about that. And of course, this requires a huge degree of wisdom in how to administer this punishment. It's not a simple thing. You need a significant court to be able to have the right type of administration. In our homes, this doesn't work. Right? Just to tell you, this is not even in our home. You cannot hit a child in order to get him to think. You can get him to... if he's going to put his hand in the fire, I think you should hit him. Because if he doesn't do it, he won't learn anything next time. But when you talk about getting a child to do some type of mitzvah, what happens is always, he doesn't think you care about his mitzvah. It's about how he looks, how's the father, the image of his son, not in synagogue. That's what he thinks. And by the way, that's for the most part 99% the truth also. There's very little to do with the boy, it has to do with the father's image in the community. The kid understands that. So that doesn't even work at home. But a community, to get involved in this, when the rabbis are running a community and the community has its own thing, it must be it's something very important. The message here is one thing, is we want you to understand how important is what you're doing to yourself. And if you will internalize what you're doing to yourself by not studying, what you're doing to yourself by not giving charity, what you're doing to yourself by not doing mitzvahs, then hopefully you'll decide to do them willingly. Hopefully you'll get to a state that you will find your own incentives to do. It's not about coercion. It never says anywhere you coerce a person to do a mitzvah. We have that language by other things. You coerce a person. This is not coercion. This is hitting him. So this is like screaming and hitting when a child's putting himself in danger. It's for him to understand the importance. And therefore, that's exactly why if the Torah gives its reward clear, then he knows what the importance is. We have no reason. Listen, you don't want to do it. You'll do what you want. You see, we're not pressuring to do the mitzvah. Because if the Torah gives the reward, we don't do anything. Listen, you chose to not to do anything. Okay, that's your loss, and there's nothing we can do about it, because forcing a person to do something makes no sense. We just want to understand he understands how important it is. And by the way, not smoking is also a similar thing. You know, hopefully what you do is beat a person not to smoke. You try and give them the understanding that hopefully you understand how important. What are my parents so riled about that I'm smoking? And hopefully then you give them the information, etc., etc. That's what this halacha is. The halacha is we don't pressure people to do things. We try and get them to think why things are so important. That's really the message of Elul is for us too. We're coming here now before Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, I'm going to commit myself to do this. Most of us use all this kind of negative incentives on ourselves. Not for this, I'm not going to have a parnassa this year. God forbid my family's going to get sick. God forbid I'll get sick. God forbid all kind of tragedies. And that's a great reason to do a mitzvah. It's almost worse than not doing a mitzvah. Because you're angry. Look what God did to me. He pressured me to do things that I don't want to do. I don't want to do because he's threatening I'm going to get sick. Or I'm threatening he's going to take away my parnassa. That's what most of us are motivated to come to synagogue. And therefore it's a... I understand that people come 3 times a year. The reason they come, that's their response to being there the 3 days. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm not interested in being any here. Do I want to deal with a God? Listen, he's strong man, I got to show up. But I am angry. The whole year is my protest to the 3 days that I go. I'm protesting the whole year to this God who's forcing me to do things that I don't want to do. And I understand that perfectly. You know, maybe a lot of us are more afraid than that, so we're afraid the whole year we're still pressuring ourselves. But we're not getting closer. We're looking for loopholes. We're looking for escapes. The purpose of this time of year is to figure out why things are good for us, to figure out, to give ourselves an understanding what a mitzvah is, why it adds, keeping Shabbos, to tell myself, he's not chaining me up for a day. He's actually giving me a day stress-free. You know what it was? Does anybody still remember what it was before you had a beeper and a cell phone and you couldn't be reached with text message every single... You know, our parents lived longer because they didn't have that. You know, God gave us a day. God gave us a day off. Everyone feels it ourselves. I grew up... My father had a lot less stress than... Well, I don't know what everybody's age here is. But if you're my age, there was a lot less stress to life. Here we have more, money, but it's a lot more stress because you're on call, you're 24/7 on call. Hashem gave you one day stress reducer. Relax. You don't answer phone, there's no emergencies. You know, God forbid, it's life and death. But other than that, there's no emergencies and you can actually relax. And you start thinking about all the mitzvahs. That's the best quality of life. And you know, a Shabbos meal and having the family home at Shabbos is quality time. And which, take away Shabbos, nobody would spend any time with their kids. You hardly have I grew up every single dinner my father was home for. Even though I have actually found out when I've used that example, not everybody even my age can relate to that. But I think the overwhelming majority of people of my age understand that. That's the way it was. Your father was home for supper. And today, there's almost most of the meals are eaten out of the house, without the parents. There's no, and if there wouldn't be Shabbos is to enhance the quality of life. When a person is understanding that, he then becomes motivated to keep Shabbos. But it requires study. Hashem is giving us something that's for our good. It's nothing to do, it's not his agenda, it's our agenda. We have to start understanding why it's our agenda. But if we go into Rosh Hashanah thinking, he's going to beat me up if I don't show up. God forbid, someone's going to get sick. It's like the wrong thing. That's worse than not doing it. That's worse than laughing on the mitzvahs. I mean, we would be appalled at ourselves if we started laughing on the mitzvahs. But you know what? If I would laugh on the mitzvahs, I wouldn't be angry at God. Okay, you know, I wouldn't be angry. He doesn't affect me. But when I'm doing things that I don't want to do, I get angry. I do it and I feel a tremendous pressure. The whole emphasis this time of year is to figure out why it's good for me. It's about trying to understand who I am and why things are good for me. The message of Elul is Hashem is doing surgery in us. We're not talking about repentance. We're trying to understand. He wants us to understand who we are. And when you begin understanding who you are, then you begin understanding the value of what he's asking us to do. Who are we? You know, that's a real question, and that's a question we have to think about a lot. What do we really want in life? What's really is our good? You know, it's not it's something we almost never deal with. But in order to do anything with enthusiasm, it starts, who am I? What do I really, really want from life? Is it drugs? Is it women? Is it gambling? What do I really want? Hashem opens our heart to understand who we are. Why is that important? Because if I know who I am, then I can figure out what he's telling me to do is actually for my good. I think it's, to me, it's the most important change mindset that when we go to synagogue. It's a day you're sitting in synagogue, figure out, it's hard to wait till you get to synagogue. It's something we should start now. So that's what El is, to think about who we are. He opens up our hearts so that we can actually examine who we are and figure out what we need and how the mitzvahs enhance the quality of our life. And if we don't have that, we're not going to have... Yeah, I'm not saying we won't go to Russia, but then we're just angry to rest. And by the way, I need all this abuse and I got to pay for a seat too. It's bad enough I got to go. And not only that, you know, in some place, and the davening is 5-6 hours on top of that. You know, it's... everything, it's heavy, and everything is a reason to be angry about going. By the way, I'm just describing to everybody now my feelings as a 6- and 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old young man who was angry. I was angry. You know, I went. I didn't have a choice not to go, but it was an experience that was heavy, burdensome. It was like the worst days. You know, like the days of old, they were the most awful days in my life as a youngster that I can imagine. They were awful. They were really awful. And I think, you know, got a little older and maybe, you know, I know how to put up with a little, until I began understanding that this is for me in a way that I should figure out. It's Ani L'Dodi, L'Dodi. It's all about us. There's no system. Hashem doesn't want to coerce us to do the mitzvah. It's the worst thing. Because then he's creating enemy. And the mindset is for us to take advantage of Elul. And, you know, as we start thinking about next year, things I don't understand, make a commitment to try and understand. Sit down. I'll study more about charity this year. I'll study more about film. Whatever area I feel resentful, let me try and understand it. He doesn't want me to do it not understanding. It's not right. Well, since I don't understand, therefore it's no good, and I'll do it. An intelligent person says to himself, and should say to himself, what was Hashem's purpose here? How's it changing me? What's the meaning I can find this in my life? That's what we have to figure out, what the meaning is in doing the mitzvahs. And we do that, and we do it with enthusiasm. The main goal of the mitzvahs is not to do the mitzvahs, it's to do them with enthusiasm. Doing without enthusiasm is worse than laughing on the mitzvahs.
Is there a difference between external pressure and self-imposed pressure when you do this analysis?
Well, again,
so, you know, the parent says you got to do this, you do.
Right.
But what if it's not a parent? What if
it's yourself? Yeah. Again, if it's something, what is creating the? If it's creating the pressure, what people are going to say, what my parents are going to do to me, how people are going to look down on me? It's the same. If the internal pressure is because I understand it's good for me, the person has a tremendous pressure to become a doctor or a lawyer. It's a pressure, but that pressure is based on because he knows it's good for him. He's going to be successful and he's going to grow. It depends what the internal pressure is. If the internal pressure is something that I understand that this is my benefit, you know, whether it's exercise, whether it's, you know, rowing every day, you know, those are things, if I understand it makes me healthy and it keeps me body tone, that's wonderful. But it has to be something I have to understand is good for me.
I can never say that. Could it really apply to your relationship with yourself as well?
That's what I'm saying. The whole thing is, it's related. Who Hashem, giving me heart surgery means so I can understand myself. It has nothing, it's not about our relationship. He creates it. Because until I understand myself, there's no way that I can convince myself or know that I'm doing something meaningful.
And love yourself is same.
Yeah.
I mean,
and do what's best for that.
Right. Right. That's right. That's right.
How can it? So what's the case that it could work that the person could understand that he's being beaten in order to wake him up?
Exactly the same thing. You're putting your I'm going to stop and think. My father doesn't do that when I put my hand in the fire. That's, what is it? Oh, I'm going to get burned. I'm going to lose a hand. It's something that...
Based on how extremely unusual it is.
That's right. That's right. Right. That's what that. The court has no... They never mix it. Not only that, if they know that I know it's important, they let me go. Not that those mitzvahs are less important. These may be more... Charity might be a more important mitzvah. First of all, it helps more people. It saves me from death. But you know what? They know I know how it's important. They don't do it. You know, and I guess at some point with our children, when you know that they already know, they're intelligent enough to know that smoking is this, to react is stupid. It's already stupid. That's going to be counterproductive. You know, when they're young and they didn't understand about smoking, it was a cool thing to do. But once they know, you know, and there's no shortage of information out there to come down them, it makes no sense. It's about figuring out, it's only about giving over a message of how important something is. So until a person knows that. And if you do it for every little thing, then you've lost it too. And unfortunately, that's what we usually do. We have to have our priorities. It's only about trying to get them to the level, our children, it's just so much easier to talk about our children than ourselves, to get them to the level they understand that something is important. I think it's a very important message for us. As I said, I'm talking about the children, for us, I go to show, I want to understand this year. I want to understand why things are good for me. And if I understand they're good for me, I'll do them with Cheshik. Otherwise, I'm dragging my feet, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to Shul, dragging my feet and paying for it. And it's a heavy experience and it upsets me. And really, it's not impossible that either I won't show up the rest of the year or I'll daven with more resentment the rest of the year, which is also no good. It's only about doing things with enthusiasm. And there's no way anybody will ever do something without enthusiasm unless they understand it's good. I think it's a... Anyway, it's something that I'm finding important for myself to make this time of the year something meaningful. I would like to grow this year, and in order to do that, I have to really believe it's something good for me. Because to force myself to do things that I don't like doing, I'm not getting closer to Hashem. I'm getting further and further away from Him. That's what the Rambam is telling us. That must be the way he understood the Talmud. It's not pressuring a person to do the mitzvah. Pressuring them to stop and think, what? The rabbis have nothing better to do than this. They just want me at the court. I'm saying, they have nothing better to do. Yeah, they want me to think how important this is in my life and how what I'm doing to myself, I don't do this.
Maybe a silly question, but is there any evidence that any of these court situations ever took place? Or what came out of them? Or is it just hypothetical, theoretical?
We know for sure this was not something that was done too often because they didn't even know what mitzvahs to apply it to. And they brought a person in for honoring their parents, which is means that if it would be something, if there would have been a lot of case law and a lot of history, they wouldn't have brought him in. It means it's something they were doing, they're trying to make it, he should realize, come on, you know, you shouldn't treat your parents like that. It wasn't taken up for the parents, it was given a feeling. And then they realize that there's no reason to do this. There's no reason. The boy knows. And if you know, we're not going to press you to do anything. We're just trying to hopefully give you a new understanding. And it's the same thing with our children. We have to give them more information. Our houses can't be houses of coercion. They have to be houses of education. And once you bring someone to the level he knows, he makes the right choice or he doesn't make the right choice. You're not the guardian of his choice, because if you coerce his choice, you're creating a resentment.
Do I remember what you said, that they beat them to death?
No, that means they have the right to do... That means that the boy understands that...
I mean, if you beat somebody to death, then there's no time to shoot.
It doesn't mean to death. It means till the point. Till the point. Till the point.
So why do they have been so annoying for you? Give them out this. That's going to make him more resentful. He has a certain mindset. He wants self-gratification or
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. He has to get to the point to understand that that this is something. He's destroying himself. That's really what he's doing. He's destroying himself. It's not about taking up for the honor of the parents. It's about him. He's destroying himself. And and the court gets involved, so you shouldn't. And once the person gets to that point, he's interested in destroying himself. That's nothing you can do.
I used to think that if a man doesn't give a woman a get, court can go and beat him until he gives it. My understanding was this guy deserves to get beaten up. It's like a punishment. According to what you're saying, it's the exact opposite. It's good. This is good for him. It's good for her. It's good for him to understand.
But that's from a whole different... That's a different law. That's exactly what I was saying. That's a different law. One is hitting. One is forcing him to give the get. That's a whole different... It's a different language. By the way, the Rambam says it actually is good for him. But over there... But our involvement over there is because it's a victim. And a victim, we have to help the victim. There's no question that. But in addition to...
It's also good for him.
Yeah. It will be good for him. But I think it's a different type of coercion. Now, it's over there... As soon as you say yes, then right. We're not trying to do that over here. As soon as you say, you know what, go home, think about it. We don't want him to do the mitzvah. You know what, if you say you're going to do it, we're going to stop it. Okay, you got enough? I want you to go home and think about it. It's a whole different way of administering it. We're not trying to accomplish, okay, I'll give the charity or I'll honor my parents or whatever mitzvah, I'll put on the tefillin. Nothing to do with that. You know what? Go home and think about why you should put on film. The court is acting totally different. They're going to hit him, and he said, are you ready to go home and think about it? Fine. I'm not ready to go home and think about it. We'll keep on. We just want you to go home and think about it. Everybody should have a great job. It's a great year. And Bezos Hashem, Slichus next 2 weeks, no class. Sukkos is our traditional time off, and the yeshiva starts again, so it's not this Friday right after Sukkos. It's the Friday after the Friday right after Sunday.